the word speak to her heart and nobody else's. When she started singing, I almost started crying. Just to tell you a story. Right outside their door, cliff sparrows have chosen their porch for a number of years now to build a nest. They do it every year. They make a mess. You walk up to their door, you're going to probably get attacked by a cliff sparrow. But this year, something different happened. And I got to think about that thing when she started singing it. About how God is so marvelous. This year, the first batch hatched and they flew off. They flew back. They flew off. They flew back. And last week, another one had laid eggs. And it hatched. And for some reason, the nest fell from off the side of the porch. I stood there and watched the mother and the father, whichever they were, or that group of birds, they'd fly in, fly out, protecting them. And I noticed one of them picked up a feather. Another picked up some little straw and feathered. And I said, look, she's getting feathers from there. She's going to build another nest. And those little birds build another nest. And I don't know how they done it. We even Googled this because it surprised us. But that mother bird put those little birds on her back and flew them to their new nest. God has made some miraculous things. If nothing else, him raising from the dead solidified who he was. And he's made some marvelous things. That the only way it got a big bang was the other day when I said, wow, look at those birds. But see, we got a Savior who is so marvelous. The whole world needs to hear it. We need to live it. If we're believers, if we really do believe that God is God and that he has made all these marvelous things that we see, both those things we see and those things we cannot see, the Bible says that Jesus has made it all, the seen and the unseen. Can you just imagine what the unseen is going to be like? Because of how marvelous what we see is like. I can't hardly wait. I'm not ready to leave Wanda or my children or my grandchildren. But I can't even imagine what it's going to be. That goes right along with our message today. We serve a wonderful living Savior. The song goes, he's in the world today. I know that he is living. Amen? So let's take part in this thing called Christian living. A year and a half of pandemic, many, many lives lost. But has this issue that we've had made us stop and think of what the world needs? I remember, and you guys do too, when 9/11 happened, they began to pray. I mean, we were having revival that week that it hit. And you couldn't get in this building after 9/11. It was packed every night. People were so frightened about what was going on in this world. They knew the only place to seek was God. And then, like everything else, our government got involved. and brought in every kind of religion there was, set them out there as if they're equal to God, when they're not. Because the only God there is the one who said, I am, I am. The only one who has risen from the dead. The only one who has created heaven and earth. What a wonderful God we serve. This morning, let's just stand. I'm going to read something here. I forgot what I'm going to read. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. It's where we're going to read. Everybody have your Bibles? Man, let me say, how beautiful you are. This is marvelous to see you people here. And I know we've got some that's still sort of laid back a little bit, but hey, this makes my day right here, I tell you. Verse 11. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. We can glory in appearance, but not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. That word means is sober-minded. For the love of God constrains us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then all were dead. And that's pretty good reasoning. And he that dieth for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Let's read that one again. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. In other words, he's not with us now. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I've used this scripture before. I want us to look at it a little different. I want to talk to you about ministry motivators. What can we do to be motivated? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this morning for the Word of God, how powerful it is. And when we just stop and consider your words, Lord, they are powerful. They are powerful. I pray that none of us that are here today are going to just glory in ourselves and not in you. Not from our being, not from our minds, not from our mouth, but from our heart, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray you'd open every heart that's here today, every ear, every eye, that, Lord, that we might see, hear, understand your word. And, Lord, I ask you this morning, I need your anointing today. I'm not worthy to stand behind this desk right here, right now, and even share the wonderful word of God. So, Lord, I need your intervention. I need you to anoint me. with that anointing that only comes from on high. May I preach with a passion for your people and a deep love for you. May I do it in a way, Lord, that is not offensive from what I say, but the word of God will be powerful in their heart. And I know that it does offend us sinners. But we are thankful that Jesus Christ sets us free. So Lord, just have your way today. Bless this message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. What does it take to motivate us? Do we need another tragedy to motivate us? Do we need some leader to step up and say, this is what we need, this is what we need? Or some woman to come up with a new idea? Or even with a new word? Is that what we need? Someone to stand up and say, listen, I've got a new revelation. And it be contrary to God's word. What do you do? What do you do? So what is it this morning that could take us and motivate us personally to do what God has commanded, not asked, commanded every one of us to do? Including myself, none of us has reached that plateau where we deserve to be in heaven. None of us. No matter how much good you do, no matter how much you read, no matter how much you study, no matter how much we think that we know about the Word of God, we never reach that point where God says, welcome in. I'm glad you're here because I couldn't do nothing with you. I'm glad you did it yourself. But we know that's not true. So the very one that has created us, the very one who has come into this world and died for us, the very one who rose from the dead, the very one who said the price had been paid, he is the one that motivates us. Because of the love of God and the presence of God living in the lives of every single believer, there must be something in there motivating us. Something that causes us to keep on keeping on. A friend of mine was asked one time, have you ever wanted to quit? He said, man, I wanted to quit 1,000 times. He said, well, why didn't you quit? He said, because I couldn't quit. He said, there's your answer. Because see, he that the Spirit of God lives in cannot quit. Oh, this flesh might give him a fight. This flesh might make him look bad at times. But that inward man has been set free. Been made alive. And here's the thing that I'm talking about. The whole world needs this. The Bible says broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many, many, it says, goes that way. And that word in the original language, many, it means a clear majority. So what the Bible is saying that there's the majority of people are going to find the wrong way. If somebody is not motivated enough to tell them the way, show them the way, live them the way. Now, everybody you speak to is not going to like it. They're going to call you crazy. They're going to say it's not true. They're just going to ignore it and say there is no God. But I want you to know this. He knows the ones who needs to hear the message. He knows the ones that he's going to call. He knows the ones that will hear his beckoning and answer. That's why he's not come yet. There's somebody out there, he knows that when they hear the message, they're going to respond. But if there's no messengers, how are they going to hear the message? He said we had some marvelous things here that he has done for us. Listen, when he called me, I was not searching for him. And you probably weren't either. Your life was probably in a mess. And you were just looking for something to make sense to you. And the Holy Spirit began to deal with you. And you begin to believe what you were being told. And you responded in faith and said, yes, Jesus is Lord. And he brought you into his kingdom. Paul, writing to Philemon, said, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Powerful, isn't it? Powerful message. He's writing this letter from one who had escaped, and Paul had led him to the Lord, apparently, Onesimus. And here he is sending him back to who he was bound to. And he said, listen, may that what God has done in you, may you express that here. Damon Lee version. Peter said this, but in your own hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is within you. Two of God's men that he used to write the scriptures for us has challenged us here that our faith might be effective, not only in us, but in everyone else that is around us. That's a job right there. I tell you, it's a job. Billy Graham said this, our faith becomes stronger as we express it. A growing faith is a sharing faith. In other words, if we're not sharing our faith, we're not growing. We're staling out. I always heard if you're not going forward, you're just standing still, you're really going backwards because everybody else is leaving you behind. We have to be active. George Whitefield, one of the great preachers, said, God forbid that I should travel with anybody a quarter of an hour without speaking of Christ to them. Don't let me go 15 minutes with somebody with me that I don't talk about Christ. Have you ever noticed how it's so easy to come up? It's easy to start a conversation about Christ. Simple. All we have to do is do. And the great D.L. Moody said this, the greatest way we can show love to one another is by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. When a man is filled with the Word of God, you cannot keep him still. If a man has got the Word, he must speak or die. Have you ever seen a child that's so full of energy they can't sit down? You ever seen one like that? Anybody ever had one like that? No, no finger points, please. I've seen children, bless their hearts. See, when I was little, they called it, he's got a ringworm. Because he's sitting there, he is ringing and twisting the whole time. We should be like a child. Can you just get this picture here? A child that is hyperactive, high activity, running on high test gas, and Christmas coming the next day. Whew. Can you just imagine that, what that family's going through that day? Or taking a trip, and every 5 minutes they say, are we there yet? No, honey, we've got 2 more days to go. That's a day and a night and another day. So just hold on, we'll be there when we get there. They're so excited. They can't harness that energy. They just let it go. D.L. Moody is saying the same thing here. He says that we have within us the Word of God, and we cannot keep still because of it. It's either spill it or it'll kill us. One of the two. And here he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. We sit there, hold on to it, afraid that somebody is not going to like us. Or somebody's going to think we're a holy roller. I wish we could roll a little bit. But God's word is worth sharing. Here, now, how do we get motivated? What is the answer to that? G. Campbell Morgan said this: to call a man an evangelical who is not evangelistic is an utter contradiction. And I believe that's true, don't you? So what do we do? Where is our motivators? Well, in order to do anything well, to be a real soul winner, if you want to call it that, or a sharer of the gospel, if we want to do that, something has to be there to motivate us. Just like on the jobs. If you want promotions and all that on the job, you work yourself to death to be there. You want to make sure you're doing the right things, you got everything in order so that you can get that promotion when it comes up. And if you get it, you're real happy about it. And so this is sort of the way this is we have to have something that motivates us. When I was in a public work, I hate to say it, I was just dumb and stupid. I worked ridiculous hours, 15, 16 hours every day, and I made sure that nobody beat me out. I won 32 awards from the company while I was with them. You know what motivated me? That promotion. And those plaques that hung on my wall, that motivated me. Somebody do something a little bit better than what I did this week, I'm not going to put up with that. I'd beat them out the next week. I'd go to Vicky and say, Vicky, I need your help. Something has to motivate us. But it's got to be something worth having. See, I worked myself to death, missed family time. Of course, I did have them out there at night with me. LC will testify that. I worked where he worked. But he was supposed to be there or not. I weren't supposed to be there. But I had my children there with me helping me. And at 1 o'clock in the morning. But we've got to have something that is real. Something that is lasting if we're going to make it work. And it's got to be something that is exciting. Something to stimulate us. And something worthy of our growth. So what can that be? I don't know but one thing, and I guess I could say Jesus to all of it. Well, I know I could say Jesus to all of it. I remember, and I've told you this before, I sat in my office one day reading. It didn't seem like we were doing anything. So I sat in there one day, I was praying, God, show me what you want us to do. How do you want me to lead the church to go? And he led me to some scripture, which had become our motto scripture for our ministry to nursing care. And I don't know how long we've been doing that now. It's been a long time. And our prison ministry. Listen, pure religion, James says, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, to keep yourself unspotted. Matthew 25, here we go. This is what God told me sitting there. Well, actually, I read through it, and God said, that's it right there. That's what I want you to do. I was hungry, and you gave me no food, no meat. He said, I was in prison, and you did not visit me. I was sick, and you didn't come to me. When he says, our job is to visit those people. See, a lot of times when we talk about ministry, we think Sunday morning worship time or Sunday morning school, or Sunday school. And we think at that point that that's our ministry to God, but it's not. This is our glory time. This is when you get to sing these songs of praise, have your heart lifted up, and then the Bible is opened up and we begin to talk about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we do that, it brings excitement. But does it bring excitement because this past week we've done this and we've done this. We've ministered to this person or that person. And I know we begin to work at this stuff here. And at one time, I think it took a page or so to list the ministries that were going on. We opened up a dress and pocketbook and shoe store, didn't we? Right back there, one in Sunday school. And it was free. Food closet was free. So much stuff. I mean, it was ridiculous what we were doing. No, it weren't ridiculous. But God blessed us. God has always blessed us. When we're working for Him, He'll bless us. And listen to me. My prayer is that 30 years from now, 40 years from now, 100 years from now, the ministry is going out from Victory Baptist Church, ministering to the world that we don't see anymore because God's carried us home. That's what my focus is. Let's get it where we build the foundation that our children, our grandchildren, you know, I don't know, Brandon might be a preacher, who knows? Or their children might be a preacher. One of our grandkids, I know I come from a long line of preachers. They better look out. He'll call them when it's late. But there is reason to do ministry. Let me tell you what it is. The fear of the Lord. We must be motivated by the fear of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 1 Corinthians 3:14 says it's going to be a place of reward and recognition. I do not want to stand before God with nothing to lay at His feet. Matter of fact, I was looking last night, thinking about the crowns that the Bible speaks of, those five crowns that the Bible speaks of that we could receive. And I can just see us there with those beautiful crowns that we've received, knowing we do not deserve them, and take them up and lay them at His feet and worship Him. I'm fearful of standing before Him with nothing, doing nothing, just being, as my mama used to say, you're like a knot on the log. You're not on the log. You ever hear that before? I don't want to be a knot on the log in the forest of our Savior. I want to be active. I want to be serving. I want to be loving. I want to be caring. And I want our church to be known as that crazy little church on the backside of the desert. That loves and serves. So we can be motivated by the fear of God. And I'm not talking about the fear of regressing and not be willing to participate with him or have fellowship with him. I'm talking about like my daddy and my mama. When Mr. Bud said something, you might as well get ready for it. Mama didn't say nothing anyway. You just got it immediately. She didn't wait for nothing. She didn't say it's coming. You're about to get it. She just went on you. But my parents, I feared what they said when they said, no, don't you do that. I feared that, but I weren't afraid of them. I loved them. And my goal was to do what they told me to do. I had a hard time doing that, though. That was my trouble. I respect them, but I had a hard time doing what they say to do. But we are the watchmen that God has put in place right now for this world to hear his name. That's where we are. Now, it would be nice if I'd been born back in the Western days where I could be a gunslinger. Something like that. Ride a horse. That would have been fun. But that's not where God put me. He didn't put me during the Great Reform. He put me here. In the great now, where he had plans for me from the very beginning. And you are in the same place I'm at. You're right where he has created you to be. So that should motivate us. Nothing that we do should stop us from being motivated. I mean, we have a wonderful, loving, just God. That should motivate us. We're right where he put us. That should motivate us. After what I've seen over the years, after what I've noticed, the world is in desperate need of a Savior. And this world is in a mess. And if any time we ever needed to be together worshiping and praying and gathering as the body of Christ is now. He said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as some, but do it even more when you see that day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. What he said is that when times are tough, when things are unsure, as time gets further along and homegoing gets a little closer, do it even more often. I know I've got a few here. I used to say the same thing. I used to say, I wish that we owned all those apartments in front of us and we'd just get us an apartment. We'd have church every night. Wouldn't have to go nowhere. Just go over there. And we'd have a fat dog and a good our apartment. But we should be coming together when I got saved. I thought I was supposed to go to church. When I had a job, I've never missed work ever. When I was 33, I had a stroke and I was out of work 2 weeks, and my boss man, I had to beg him to let me come back to work. When I had my open heart surgery, I was out here, and Roger done a good job filling in for me, taking care of things, and the men. Al is our chairman. So hey, they done a good job looking out for me. let me tell you something. There was never a time when I did not want to be in the house of God. I loved him enough to say, I want to be there. And I said, I remember I had a hard time. I had a hard time with my heart surgery. But I remember saying, I'm going to be there at communion on New Year's. I want to do that. Why? Why would anybody want to do that? I tell you, when we know how much he loves us, when we know how much he loves us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe can have life. It's that simple. There's plenty of doctrines out there, but Jesus said all you got to do is look and see, believe, and you can have life. We can have life. Why? Because he came into this world when we were hopeless, helpless, dead to him. You realize he had to awaken us so we could hear the gospel. That inner man died at the garden. And until the Holy Spirit of God quickened us, we were just like the guys over at Jones's or Johnson's or one of the others in town. We were just like them. They don't ask them to get up and do anything. They just move them where they want them. You know why? Because they can't hear them because they're dead. They can't see where they want them to go because they're dead. They can't tell them they don't want to go because they're dead. That's the way we are. And then the Holy Spirit shakes us, motivates us, brings truth into our heart, and all of a sudden it lightens up the world in your eyes. You encounter something that you've never encountered before, and that is the presence of God's Spirit calling you. Oh, what a marvelous thing. So we can be motivated by his love. That should motivate us, if nothing else does. It's the love of Christ that constrains us, holds us together, packs us like an old peanut butter jelly and mayonnaise sandwich. Flap them together. Delicioso. I know y'all don't believe that, but it's true. And here's the last, okay? I think it's the last. I'm making it the last. Because it's yesterday almost. We can be motivated because we are a brand new creation. I've had some horrible things in my life. Hateful things in my life. Dangerous things in my life. But I'm telling you this. That Thursday afternoon, about 3:30, when I knelt down beside my bed, and I told God, I'm a sinner. And I believe you died for my sins. Please forgive me my sins. I rose up a different person. A different person. Gina was about that big. And just the presence of that new creature had a whole new outlook on what was important. I never had to ask the preacher? Could I do this or could I do that? The only thing I wanted to do was to do what would glorify him. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted my house to do. We haven't been perfect in everything. Probably not perfect in most things. But I do know this. That Thursday afternoon, on the 26th of April, God visited our house. And right in that bedroom, he reformed me. Made me all over again. That should motivate us. He's either worthy or he's not. We either serve him or we don't. We either worship him or we forget him. We either follow him or we run as far as we can away from him. That's what we do. I'm telling you, he's worth running to. He's worth surrendering everything that you have. Is he is anyway. He saved me from my household to the checkbook. Praise God. You know why? Because he wanted me to trust him. And man, what a marvelous Savior we have. What motivates you? What takes us to that place where I just want to serve him? I can tell you what takes us there. It is the Spirit of the Lord. So this morning, I'm just going to say this. See, I know I can't get to you. My work is only getting it to your ears. The Holy Spirit can carry it to your toes if that's where he wants. I guarantee you this. Because he proved it to me. I ran for 7 days before I knelt down beside my bed. I was a miserable man too. Didn't sleep, couldn't eat. I was just all I could think about. I'm going to hell. That's all I could think about. Oh, what deliverance. And now I know that I'm saved, sealed, and delivered. And there's not a devil in hell can do anything about that. For I am forever his. From every cell, sinew, bone, and marrow in my body is his. And yours too, if you're his. And I hope that you are. So guys, let's ask ourselves this. Yeah, don't worry about your neighbor who's sitting beside you. Whether it's family or whether it's just an acquaintance, a church brother or sister. Don't worry about him. You ask yourself, if I was to stand before God and he looked at me, would he see a person that had been motivated to do what he's asked us to do? Now, you're the only one who can answer that. I can't answer it. I can answer it for me, but I can't answer it for anyone else. Just let me say, we should be motivated. We've got more than enough to be motivated about. And one was saying last night, it's exciting, isn't it? I told her about our men's meeting. Man, you guys were great. Come out. That was wonderful. We had a load here. I was excited. I told one about it. She said, that is so exciting that the church is coming back together. I said, it sure is. It sure is. Ask yourself, am I truly motivated or do I need some work in my life and in my heart? And let's do business with God. Amen. The altar's always open. This thing was dedicated for this reason, to meet God right here. So that's what this place is for. So are you asking yourself, am I motivated? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for the message you've allowed me to preach. I pray, Lord, that I've said what you would have me to say. But I pray, Lord, that the message itself would get into the heart, into our mind. There's so many things that this body of believers could do working together. Nobody has all the right answers. We are a body of Christ. But together in this fellowship, you have placed people, gifted people, to bless this church. So, Lord, we pray your will to be done. If there's one here lost and undone, I pray, Lord, that they'd be saved. If there's one here today looking a home, need a home church to identify with and connect with and to serve with, I pray they'd come this morning and say, we want to become part of the family. Lord, I give this time to you. It's your time to speak. In Christ's name, amen. Let's all stand. Fred's going to lead us in a song.